Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 33. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Let's read it together. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the opportunity that we have and the health and the ability to be here this morning to hear it preached and taught. God, I thank you for all the music and that's gone on before to prepare our hearts, but God, now this is the time and this is the place. We need to hear from you. Speak to our hearts this morning. Help us to hear what you have for us. Help us to be obedient to what you have for us. And God, we pray for this to occur. We pray that you'd anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power. Enable us as hearers to hear and do. But Father, we do pray for your power for our pastor. And then Father, if there's somebody in this room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior from their sin, I pray that they would settle it before they leave today. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated, I need you now to check your cell phone and make sure that it is turned to off or to vibrate. It is essential, please, that it not go off during the service. And you say, well, I'm sure it's not on. Check and make sure. If your cell phone goes off, if you do not have allergies, you will instantly have them. If you do have allergies, they will be magnified by 200-fold. So help us there, please. We don't want you to come down with any unnecessary illnesses. And we don't want to listen to La Cucaracha in church anyway, okay? So help us there, or some bad thing from Kiss band that you used to listen to when you were a kid. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Now please listen. You know what he's talking about here? When the Bible talks about the lot, it's not talking about the person Lot. It's talking about a time when Israel, when they would go to make a decision and they weren't sure what they should do. They didn't have any clear direction from God. Do you realize today, dear people, that Israel was the only nation on this earth that was under a theocracy at a time, where there wasn't a government that ran Israel. God ran that nation. And God spoke his will and through the prophets, and he told them what he wanted them to do through the men of God. And sometimes God spoke directly to Israel. It's a theocracy. It's a great thing. It scares people half to death now to think we could have a politician actually believed in God and talked about God. But the truth is, that was Israel's best days. But there were times when they would go to make a decision and they weren't sure. And they had no clear direction from God. So they did what the Bible calls casting lots. What it was a collection of bones, kind of rounded as it were, with different Hebrew letters inscribed on those bones. And they would take the lots, much like a person would throw, you have no idea, okay, you didn't bite on that, okay, never mind. Much like a person would throw dice. He knows what they were. Yeah, that's right, I almost got you, but you're too sharp, Brother Evans, seriously. Must have just got back from vacation. You're on top of it. All right, that's good. That's good, too. And they would throw the lots, and whatever letters would come up, they would consider that to be the direction of God in a decision that they had to make. They cast lots, for instance, even in the New Testament time when they went to replace Judas who had hung himself. And they cast lots to find out which of the men who were there and saw Christ after his resurrection, who would be the next apostle to take Judas's place. And they didn't have direction. By the way, the reason they didn't have direction was because the one that God wanted wasn't there then. Paul was to be that apostle. But they cast lots and took a man named Matthias. So when Proverbs 16:33 says, look at it, the verse again, please. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Can I give you a modern interpretation for what that is without correcting the Bible? When I was a little kid and we played baseball, played Little League, and they were teaching us how to play the game of baseball. One of the things they had to teach us was when you're out in the field and it was your time to field the ball, you didn't want to just pick it up and throw it somewhere. You wanted to know where you should throw it. whether first base, second base, third base, throw it to home plate. Because when you sometimes you watch children play, they'll get the ball and they'll just throw it up in the air. They have no idea what to do with it. So our coaches, when we were little, taught us what to do. Think ahead and figure it out before the play. Okay, and that, so the coach would get us in the field, practice time. He would stand at the plate with a bat and a ball. He'd say, okay, now there's a runner on second base and there's two outs. And he said, now what are you going to do with the ball when you get it? And then he would throw it up in the air and he would just hit it. And whoever would go to, this is what he would yell. You got the ball, now what are you going to do with it? Proverbs 16:33 is, you've got the ball, now what are you going to do with it? The lot is cast into the lap. But the verse says, but the whole disposing thereof, where it came from, how it came to you, that came from God. But the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. See, I think today that in our lives as individuals, even as families, and frankly as a nation, God is casting some lots to our laps, and I wonder if we understand that it's time for us to realize we got the ball, now what are you going to do with it? Too many today are trying to escape the importance of making decisions they should make. We put it off. We delay. Why do today what you can put off until tomorrow? Our Spanish-speaking friends have an expression, mañana, mañana, mañana. Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. But most English-speaking people have an expression for that too. Why do today what you can put off till tomorrow? And a lot of people are faced with decisions in their life. Listen, things that have come to their life and they're not willing to make a decision to do something about it. So I'm going to use that expression this morning from Proverbs 16:33. You've got the ball, now what are you going to do with it? I'll talk to you about some things that I believe the Lord God of heaven has disposed to you. I want the people in the foyer to sit still and listen. No talking out there. If you're sitting, I want you to sit and listen just like you're in church. Thank you. The whole, say, how, why do you do that, Pastor Johnson? Because I think everybody should pay attention. You can't sit in here. We understand we have some health issues and things. Folks need to sit outside, and I want them to do that, but I want them to listen. See, God is, ladies and gentlemen, God is bringing some things to our lives, allowing some things to come to our life. Now, the question is this, what are you going to do about these things? The decisions that God has brought to you that you need to make. You know how easy it is just to put things off and say, oh, well, I'll deal with it another time in my life. And I know people who have blown an entire lifetime doing that. There's an old account in Scripture about the man Methuselah who lived 969 years and he died. And what we know about a man who lived almost 1,000 years is this. He lived 969 years and he died. That man wasted almost 1,000 years on this planet, and there's two or three verses in the Bible that tell us about his life and what he did. And he must have just put off so many decisions, he blew 1,000 years without even looking at it. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Now listen to me carefully. I believe God is in the business of giving us some things, bringing some things, allowing some things into our lives. And it's essential that we do something about it. And it's decision time. You got the ball. Now what are you going to do about it? For example, in this thing about salvation. Now we know from the Scripture that salvation is by grace through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Last Sunday was Easter Sunday. We celebrated the resurrection. So we know that the complete gift of God, that's eternal life, is simply this. That Jesus died on the cross for our sins, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 to 3. He died on the cross for our sins according to the Scriptures. That He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news, God sent His Son to die for you, to pay for your sins, to give you eternal life as a gift already purchased by His precious blood, provided for you, and you now must receive that gift. You don't have it because He paid for it. You have it because it's paid for, but you must receive it. You personally must make a decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. We know it's not of works because the Bible says not of works lest any man should boast. We know it's not of works because it says not of works, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy hath He saved us. Titus 3, 5, and 6. We know salvation has no work to it because in Romans chapter 4 it says, Abraham our father was justified by faith, but if he were justified by works, he had whereof to glory, but not before God. Salvation is a gift of God. It's all of God, it's all of gift, and it's all of grace. And it must be received. But ladies and gentlemen, then we must make a decision to do something about that. So, well, I'm sure I've taken care of it somewhere in my life, Pastor Johnson. You mean to tell me something as important as salvation and eternal life is something you may have taken care of and you don't even know? I don't remember every gift I've ever received in my life. I remember certain ones of them that stand out. I remember as a kid when I wanted my first wristwatch. And I wanted a really good one. I wanted a Timex. Because John Cameron Swayze could tie that thing to a motor and of a propeller motor on a boat and drop it in the water and run it and then show you it was keep, take a licking and keep on ticking. And if John Cameron Swayze said it would keep running, then I wanted one of those Timex watches. And my birthday came around, which is, okay, just want to make sure you know the Bible, September the 12th. And I told, they'd ask you, what do you want for your birthday? And after you tell all the stupid things you can't have, you know, I want a pony, I want a trip to Mars. Then I told them I want a Timex watch. Birthday comes, everything's there, provided cake, all the stuff, ice cream, presents, you know, you got a few things. No watch. 9-year-olds shouldn't have to deal with that. It's not right. Scarred me. Deep psychological scars. Still there today, 50 years ago. True. My stepmother said, Michael, give me the diaper bag for the baby. Now, I was taught you don't lip off to authority. But in my heart, I was thinking, get your own stinking diaper bag. I didn't get a watch. But I got up and I went back there. That long walk in the hallway with no watch. And I got the diaper bag and I brought it in. I set it next to her. She said, give me a diaper out of there. I thought, get your own stinking diaper. But I didn't say that because you didn't talk like that to authority when I was a kid. And I opened the diaper bag and there was a little wrapped present sitting there. About that big. And I thought, uh-oh. They said, oh, we forgot to give that to you. That scarred me too. Deeply. Believe me, I got over it. As soon as I unwrapped it, there was a beautiful Timex watch, which I lost 2 days later playing baseball. But I remember the gift. I don't remember all the underwear I got as a kid for a present, but I remember the gifts. You mean to tell me God gave you eternal life, salvation, a home in heaven, and you don't remember that? You mean that's something that you cannot even recall? Or I'm sure I took care of it somewhere. Then why is it when you hear this stuff about the gospel and salvation, why is it God keeps prompting you and saying, you have not done that? Because the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, the Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I don't have the date of my salvation. That's gone. I lost that. I'd have been backslidden in my life for a period of time, but I never forgot the event of my salvation. Oh, I remember that. American Baptist Church, Antioch, California. 9-year-old boy standing there without a watch. And I bowed my head and I walked that out and I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I got saved. I remember that. Now, ladies and gentlemen, please listen to this preacher this morning. I don't care if you're a member of Shasta Baptist Church. You've got the ball. Now, what are you going to do with this? It's possible to be a good church member and still go to hell when you die. Judas was there with Jesus when they went everywhere that they went, and he's in hell 2,000 years later, still casting 30 pieces of silver to the ground. And everybody of the disciples thought he was just as good a disciple and Christian as everybody else was there. But Judas knew he was lost, and so did Jesus. So you're trying to shake me up, Pastor Johnson. I hope so. I hope that what I'm saying today shakes you, because the truth is, you could not shake me off the testimony of my salvation. And it's not something I'm convinced myself of. It's something I know that I've done in my life. Paul would say in 2 Timothy 1:12, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. You see, this thing of salvation, it's a definite no soul. You have done this, made a definite decision to accept Christ as your Savior. So, well, that's something I've been thinking about, Pastor Johnson. Please listen to me this morning. You know the mercy of God is an incredible thing. The Lamentations author said his mercies are new every morning. Grace is unbelievably. The thought of grace, if you really spend time with it, you'll see why Newton was so amazed at slave ship captain, why he was so amazed by grace after he got saved. God's riches at Christ's expense, someone once said. Unmerited, undeserved favor. There's mercy, there's grace. Then there's the love of God that put Jesus to the cross and gives you the chance to be saved. But did you know all of those things? Mercy, love, grace. Have a limit to them. I believe God wants everyone to be saved. I got that from the Bible. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But I also know this. The Bible says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I know there comes a time when mercy closes its door, grace turns its back, and love will not reach beyond your stubbornness. You have, listen, if you've never settled this thing about salvation this morning, the ball's in your court. What are you going to do with it now? You've got the ball. What are you going to do with it? You need to settle it now, today. Do not leave this room until you know that you know that you have eternal life. I'll promise you this. Shasta Baptist Church nor anybody's church can save them. But it would be our pleasure to point you to Christ today, and you could settle that in your life and know him as your Savior. You've got the ball. Now what are you going to do with it? There's another area. You've got the ball. Now what are you going to do with it in that area of obedience? I didn't say in and an area of obedience. I said that area, that specific area. See, I believe most all Christians are just one verse from growing on and growing on in their life as a child of God. But you know what the verse is, don't you? It's the verse that tells them what they either need to do or stop doing, and they're not dealing with that verse now. And I don't care how long ago it was when you heard it. You may have been a child and heard this. You may have heard it last week in church or Sunday school. I don't care when you heard the verse, but you know what the verse is. It's just like when a person's lost. God keeps pricking their minds to remind them, you need to settle this in your life. But when you're a child of God and you're sitting there, I don't care what it is in your life, with your Bible reading or whatever it may be, God keeps bringing up that same subject to you, like he's doing right now. There's that thing that you haven't done yet with God. You won't do. Or it's something he wants you to stop doing that you continue to do. It's that thing that always comes up. We sing Amazing Grace, but that thing comes up. That verse, you know, that one, that thing that tells you what you should do that you won't. You ever notice it? I got to thinking one day how much that Holy Spirit was nagging me. That's a bad expression. The Holy Spirit is a comforter. Paraclete, the Bible says. It means one who comes along beside us. You know, that's the comforting work of the Holy Spirit. But it also means he's one who comes along beside us. He will not leave us alone about things. Notice that? Oh, and please. Believe me, you can go away from church, but he won't leave you alone. He never leaves us or forsakes us. So you can quit going to a Bible-believing church and stuff, and that'll get you away from what my voice will tell you, but not what the Holy Spirit will do. See, let me testify to you this morning. I spent 10 years out of the will of God. The reason I don't remember the date of my salvation is because in 10 years out of God's will, I've lost the date and time of salvation, but not the event, thank God. But in those 10 years, there were times when people would approach me out of the will of God, while I was out of God's will, and witness to me. Kind of give me the gospel. And I would say, well, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I remember one night I was living down here in Merced, stationed at Castle Air Force Base, and a man and his son came knocking on our door. A buddy of mine and I had gotten an apartment off base there. Really nice place, $90 a month, two-bedroom furnished apartment. Had one outlet in it. The whole apartment. And that was in the ceiling in the kitchen. You talk about a fire trap. We had extension cords going all over the place in that place. And I'm sitting there one night, my buddy's over here, and we're watching something on television, knock on the door, opens the door, there's a man and his son standing there in their suits. And I thought, oh, they're Mormons or something. I didn't see a 10-speed bike. I figured, okay. And this guy goes, we're from Yosemite Baptist Church. And I thought, oh, Baptist. He said, can we come in for a moment and talk to you? I said, sure, come on in. So they came in. They sat down on the couch, and he began to talk to us. He turned to my roommate, and he said, are you a Christian? My roommate says, oh, don't bother me. He said, how about you? I said, oh, yes, sir, I'm a Christian. Now, what I was doing and what was going on in that place is none of your business. But I can tell you what he said when he looked at me. Really? He was a Baptist. Really? And I said, well, yes. In those 10 years out of God's will, I would have people talk to me, witness to me. And no matter what I did and where I went, I spent a year in Greenland in the Arctic. I was in Denmark on vacation and I'm on leave from Denmark and to England. I went to different places in this world. I don't care where I went or what I did. The Holy Spirit of God would never let me go about the fact that I wasn't right with God. And I'm thankful for that this morning. And this morning, whatever it is that's in your life that shouldn't be there, He's not going to leave you alone about it if you're a child of God. What are you going to do about it? You got the ball. Now what are you going to do about it? Been putting it off way too long. Oh, there was times as teenagers, a period of that time in my life out of the will of God, I was a teenager and my brother and I lived with my dad and the three of us were bachelors in Newport Beach, California. And there were times when we knew we needed to get right with God and we'd say, we're going to church this Sunday. All right. And we'd load up and find the nearest Baptist church and go over there and go to services and we'd get right with God. And the next week, we go back to whatever it was we were doing before. But the Holy Spirit never left us alone about it. And I'm thankful this morning the Spirit of God came along beside me for those 10 years and gave me no peace. We drove by it yesterday. I was down in Manteca preaching yesterday. Drove down and back one day. Took some of the fellows from the church with me. We drove by the church. I said, there's where my wife and I got married 37 years ago this December. And I said, and there's the little house next to that little church where I got right with God on a hot August night of 1975. And I'm so glad He didn't give up on me. And He hasn't given up on you either. But you've got the ball. Now what are you going to do with it? What's that one area? See, well, it's just something simple. Then why doesn't He leave you alone about it? Why does He keep bringing up that one thing? And that one thing just keeps coming to mind. Why? Because it must be important to God. That's why He keeps bringing it up. No, it's every time I come to church, that's when He brings it up. No. I guarantee you this. You sit alone by yourself and you get your Bible out and you read it. And you say, oh, here it is. Then spake Jesus to the multitude of disciples, the scribes and Pharisees. But the Holy Spirit says, no, that's not what you need right now. This is what you need and you know what you need to do. It's decision time. We're going to keep putting this thing off and delaying what it is God would have us do or have us not do. You've got the ball. Now what are you going to do with it? Some of you folks this morning, seriously, your Sunday morning Christianity, you know that's not what God wants you to do, but you're stuck on that because you think you're throwing God a bone and He's happy with that. I'm glad you're here for whenever you come, so let's be clear about that this morning. But why is it that He bothers you tonight at 6 o'clock? Why does it have to bug you? What is that about in your life? You've got the ball. Now, what are you going to do with it? The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. You may wish He'd leave you alone, but I assure you, if he'll work on Jonah in a whale's belly, He's not going to leave you alone either. But we don't want Him to. You've got the ball. Now, what are you going to do with it in that thing that you're facing in your life right now? What you're facing with your life right now, you've got that. Something's been cast into your lap. Some circumstance, some situation has come to you. Now listen, Proverbs 16:33 says, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Do you know something? Listen, God God either causes or allows what happens in our life. You understand the difference? He causes it means God's will. It's part of God's plan for you. Ephesians chapter 1, where he talks about the mystery of his will, how there's some things we just don't understand, but God does. And he'll cause some things to happen in our lives. Sometimes not so pleasant. He told one of the Old Testament prophets to tell the children of Israel that when they had to face a difficult time, he said, now tell those people for me now, mighty prophet, this thing is from me. So sometimes God causes things that happen in our lives. When he allows them, it simply means this. We make choices, and God allows the consequences to come to us. So how do I know the difference, Pastor Johnson? Well, question, how do you find out what God wants and what God's allowing? You ask him. You don't sit at home and try to reckon this thing out. Try to reason it in your own mind. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You go to him and he'll let you know whether it's caused or allowed. Whether this is God's will and this is what he's put you in. This valley that through which you walk, this difficulty through which you face, this opposition that you're encountering, this battle that you're going through, this dark midnight of your life, this struggle, this thing that happens in your life, it's from God. Sometimes that happens. The book of 1 and 2 Peter teaches us that sometimes it's the will of God that we suffer. Sometimes it's the will of God that we go through things. But wait a minute, knowing it and accepting it are two different things. If God has caused this and it's come from the hand of God to my life and I didn't want it, I didn't like it, it was something else I'd prefer not to have, but if I am willing to submit and yield to this, God's sweet peace of the Holy Spirit will help me in my life. Be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and thanksgiving with supplication. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I did not say God causes all the good and only the bad comes from somewhere else. Sometimes the trouble comes from God. Yes, it does. And sometimes it's caused by God because it's his will. And sometimes it's allowed because we make decisions. Listen to me. We make decisions and ask God to take his hands off our life. And he does. And then we reap what we sow. That's the part we don't want to accept. We don't want to accept responsibility for our actions. We just soon pass the buck on that one. But the lot is cast into the lap and the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Friend, listen to me. You can't violate the word of God and not expect trouble from that. You can't sow seeds of trouble and not expect trouble. You can't sow to the flesh and not of the flesh reap corruption. Galatians chapter 6. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But if we shall, the Bible says, if we sow to the flesh, we shall of the flesh reap corruption. If we sow to the Spirit, we shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And God will allow that to happen in our lives. Someone once said, if you want to sow wild oats, you better pray for crop failure. But you're going to waste your time because the crop always comes in. So this thing that's come to your life now, question. It's either caused or allowed by the hand of God. The whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Question, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to handle it like a child of God and get his grace in your life? Take this thing to God, really take it to him. Well, I prayed about it once. No, you take it to God and you take your burden and you leave it there. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Come unto me, Jesus said, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Or is this something I've caused in my life and God's allowing the consequences to come? Now look at me. Then the only way to fix that is to get right about it. That's all you can do. There is no other solution. You can't wait for it to go away. All this nice rain that we've had, now the sun is out. Have you noticed the weeds didn't take the week off? Right? Can't get grass to grow in good soil, but them stinking weeds in the crack of my sidewalk are doing just fine. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed how they don't wait? Have you noticed how trouble in your life isn't going to just get better because you ignore it? It's just going to get worse until you deal with it. Listen, friend, you got the ball. Now, what are you going to do with it? Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.